mean, I think you should definitely dot whatever, dot your I's and cross your T's, whatever, right, whatever the phrase is. Like, you know, if you're doing music, sign up for ASCAP or BMI. I think it will be BMI, actually, but right, copyrighted. But then decide what your goal is. I mean, with my new band, the CD Baby I referenced before, you can choose what they put your music on,
right,
and you can say just paid stuff or everything. And I said everything because that would include, well, technically you get paid for Spotify, but it's like cents on.
Sure.
Yeah, like they released that recently. It's like even people like Kanye West are getting paid like, what was it? Do you remember this article? It was something like he got paid $30 or something like that. So obviously I'm not going to make much on Spotify. But anyways, I clicked all the, I said do all of it because my goal is to get out there. Like,
right,
I just want people to hear us. And I'll tell you what,
our
iTunes sales sucks though,
right,
like right now, because if people can just go listen to it for free, they're not going to go buy it, you know. But
right,
I mean, our goal we determined was to make, we wanted to get well known and we wanted to make money at the shows.
Right.
So I don't think we're in an era where a lot of people are making money off of the recordings anymore. That's just the vibe that I get. You know, I think you can still make good money on touring, or we don't tour, but you know,
right,
like live shows, you know.
Sure.
What's
so
your band again, Tim?
My new band's called The Henchmen.
What is it?
The Henchmen.
The Log.
He used to make records and go sell it all over town because he knew he wasn't going to get any royalties.
Right.
And then he'd make his money selling it to eight companies, let them slug it out, and then on the road.
Right.
So, I mean,
yeah,
isn't that the model?
Yeah, but I mean, we were,
well,
there
I'm
was,
not,
there,
I'm not saying keep the company,
yeah,
but you're making your money,
right,
on the road.
But there was many,
yeah,
years where people were making a ton of money on royalties. It's just not,
well,
I just don't think it's happening
it
now.
It wasn't always the artist either, though, or the
well,
songwriter.
Yeah,
I mean,
the record companies were making it, I guess,
well,
more than
yeah,
anybody, yeah.
So I think that actually, historically, in the 40s and 50s and 60s, a lot of the non-pop performers, country, hillbilly, R&B, that sort of thing, they got paid, you know, $300 to make a recording.
That's still generating money now.
But they,
yeah,
well, no, they didn't. They didn't have any contract on it. They made a recording, got paid $300. They got the $300. But they would have a record, and like Bill Monroe, bluegrass guy, he would. That was advertisements for his performances.
Right.
Right, right.
And he got paid for doing a performance. And
yeah,
I think in the 70s, when you get the record companies, the industry really building up and consolidating, that changed a little bit. You got, you know, if you got to the top, you made millions by having a record. But that has changed a great deal. I mean, very few people make millions with a record.
Right.
Yeah.
They make a living.
Yeah, you sell 30,000 copies and it's like number one,
yeah,
on the
yeah,
Billboard music
nowadays,
charts.
Nowadays it seems like it's really easy to be number one.
Yeah,
yeah. Everybody's like,
that's
number
what
one.
I'm banking
like,
on. I'm going to be number one one day. It's going to be like five copies
I see,
sold.
I literally
see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I literally
number
see
one.
Local bands that I know like will say like, oh, we placed on the charts. I'm not number one, but and I'm like, you guys can't bring 30 people to Auto Bar on a Friday
right,
night and you're telling me that you guys are selling a lot of records. Cool. Sure.
Right.
I'm sure you are. Yeah.
But do you think, to some extent, having a product does legitimize you as a even at a local and a regional level?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something you have to do too. If we're talking music, I mean, you got to have recordings and I still think CDs exist in local music. Like you need to have something to put in people's hands. I know CDs
right,
are not a big thing. I don't go buy CDs anymore. Like at stores, you know,
right,
you go to Best Buy, it's actually kind of sad. They have like what, one aisle now, and
right,
it's just
it's
can't even
whatever,
find what you want.
Whatever
and,
their front bin
yeah,
is of
yeah,
the brand new national
yeah,
releases, and that's about it.
But I think if you're a local musician, it's still really important, you know, because
right,
yeah,
if you put it in their hands and say, hey, go look us up,
sure,
you're asking them to do too much, I think. And
yeah,
you know.
I think having a physical product is still really important, especially for smaller artists,
yeah,
musicians, whatever, trying mm-hmm, to make a way for themselves. I think people still appreciate having a physical item to say, like, this is my souvenir from going to the show one time, or this convention, I got this comic book that I really liked. It.
Are you just digital?
No.
Okay.
Well,
I wasn't sure.
My work is mostly digital. I release my comic online, but I also have physical copies of the book that I sell at conventions. So
right,
I have a question here. So I thought it would be cool if you go with something that's like a credit card and it gives you a download of the digital.
There are, I've seen some people that will give like cards with like QR codes and things like that for downloads.
I mean, I guess maybe it depends what your demographic is, but I, you know, with Disc Makers, they gave me a stack of 100 of them. I gave them all out and literally no one used them. Like, I mean, no one. Like,
well, that's obviously selling them.
Yeah. You know,
well,
I'm just saying, for some reason, it wasn't effective for me. I don't, yeah.
Because if you want, because that way, a lot of people are digital.
There, yeah.
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 Right, right.
You know what I mean? And so I thought for the digital world, it might be good to have like a little, maybe a card with that venue that night.
But as an artist, like I would rather be able to meet you somewhere and not give you a card for something that you could have digitally. I would rather hand you something physical in a format that's comfortable for you. So like what I would want is to know, okay, well, if I know that most of the people that are coming to see me at a show, I have, you know, high-end all-tube stereo hi-fi systems at home connected to, you know, a vinyl player, then I'd like to have a really nice, you know, vinyl to sell. But if I know that most everybody is going to want to know, well, how do I get it on my phone, then what I want to be able to do is make it as easy as possible to get it to you on your phone.
Right.
I mean, as an artist, I don't want to necessarily control the way in which an audience consumes media. I just want to make the media that I'm putting out to you relevant.
Yeah, right. And that brings up like a really good point, is just knowing your audience, which is a really difficult thing to do because you spend so much time working on your art. Sometimes it's easy to lose sight of that. You need to keep that in mind though.
Yeah.
Like knowing who consumes it and how.
Right.
I knew some guys, and don't get me wrong, I love retro stuff, but I knew some guys that had a cassette release party recently. And I'm like, that's really cool. Like, it sounds cool, but I'm like, wow, if I got one of those, it would literally just sit on my dresser because I don't have anything to play cassettes.
It,
so, like,
it wouldn't have to, though. They could sell you the cassette and the player for like $5, right?
You guys sell Walkmans? Because that would be kind of cool.
Like, right? Custom
I've actually
Walkmans.
Seen some people, they'll... They'll take a cassette tape case, and they're selling USBs with all of their digital stuff
that's cool.
in it
that's
to
cool.
give it that retro feel.
And I like the USB idea, too, because you're, again, like, for some reason, I had just bad luck with the download cards. I mean, at some point in the music scene, we all thought that was the new thing. Like, download cards came out, we're like, all right, this is going to take over. And for some reason, in my circles, it never worked. I think maybe at Warped Tour and stuff like that, it might work, because it's kids that... don't want a CD. They're just like, I don't even have a CD player. Don't give me that.
Like, CD Baby also offers these wristbands. So like if you go to attend a show, you get a wristband or, you know, you might get your hand stamped or something. But you can actually get wristbands printed up with your download information.
That's cool.
So then you can strap it onto somebody when they walk through the door, and then they've got to wear it as proof of admission. And then when they get home, they have a way to be able to download, you know, whatever the music is that you've linked.
Yeah.
And you can do that with all kinds of events. I don't want to exclude you from this. It's like the two music guys, but I was gonna try to talk about not just the physical property aspect of like releasing at a show, but you're doing your weekly release online, and then you're doing like a collective of those for something that where you're gonna go to a trade show, right?
Right.
And so you have one copyright going from a digital release, like this is one page that's yours that you have to register in order to be able to, you know, show that you've registered the copyright for that. But you also have this compilation.
Like entire,
So the comic book format and how many pages it is and all of your content and your covers and all of that stuff is a separate copyright for a physical copy as well, right?
I do believe those would be considered differently.
And then if you were going to do a print, you would have a print that you would also have a copyright for. So all of these are individual items, but all of this is still part of your intellectual property. Like, so you own the rights to the characters and likenesses and the design and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put out all this money for copyrights, and you have all this stuff set up so that the lawyers are all happy, and nobody's going to buy it.
Well, I think that that's I know where you're coming from, but I have to tell you that going around as an artist, accusing people of not ever buying it is a sure way to guarantee that that's a fact.
Well, that's true.
As I mean, what I do is I put something out that means something to me. These two put something out that means something to them. And then they're going to try to put it out in a format that makes people want to accept it and view it or listen, read it. And then you have to convey what it is between us as individuals to whoever's about to buy, about the reasons why we're passionate about it, about why we think it connects to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is definitely a one-on-one relationship with the with your audience. This is trying to find a way to really appeal emotionally to what it is that brings us all together and makes your work appealing.
Yeah.
But that, Joe, I don't know if I'm getting
I think this is great.
It's important, though.
It is. I think that was a great response.
Cynicism is everywhere, and so I understand that where you're coming from. And I mean, we all feel like that at times too. I mean, we've all shown up somewhere and been like, wow, man, it's going to be me playing to the bartenders today, like, yeah. You know. And
we all deal with it at some point, though. I mean, you have to.
Yeah. Right.
That's true.
This is for you.
But
you talk about YouTube and some of those other places, and unless you save to disk or put it on your computer, you can't get it off there. Have you ever run across Postmodern Jukebox?
No.
Postmodern Jukebox. They're sort of like YouTube. You can look at all kinds of stuff, but they also have the actual CDs. You like somebody that you see on Postmodern, you want to buy the CD, you can get the CD.
Yeah, that's cool.
Or the DVD.
Right.
Please.
And especially, well, my favorite, there's a girl named Kate Davis, who is has a really nice voice, plays a stand-up bass. And then there's Mickey Braden, who is from New Orleans, who does a great cover of some rock and roll tunes. And then there's Pug's Pity Party, which I would recommend to all of you. If you hadn't seen that one, he does a cover of Royals. It's really cool.